Welcome to episode 9 of PCSD.
What's the word?
With your host Kevin Adger and
Angelica Carrillo.
And we are taking the podcast on our second road trip. We are here up on Mount Lemmon.
Mount Lemmon, it is cold. It is April. We thought we were going to get a little, you know, relief from the heat that started to sink in, but really we did not plan for the cold. Kevin, tell him what happened on the way over here.
I saw snow and I was devastated.
You know, he's like, it's in the 40s?
Yeah, the 40s. Come on. I am cold. I'm very cold. But love it up here. Cool down. And we have our special guest.
We have Deputy Agnieszka Sloan, Patrol Deputy for Mount Lemmon. And we are just so excited to be up here. Lots of people come and enjoy Mount Lemmon, not only in the winter, but then, of course, this is like the safe spot in the summer. So we kind of just want to pick her brain, talk about what goes into closing the roads. We know a lot of you guys have questions about that and what it's like to live and work up here. So Deputy Sloan, thank you so much for being here.
Appreciate you guys contacting me and having this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited. This isn't my first time working with you. We did something with Santa Claus, so it was pretty cool. So I'm excited to have you on. Let's just get to it right away. Let's talk about what it's like being a deputy up here on Mount Lemmon. What is it like being a deputy up here?
It is way better to be up here because of the community. You know who comes up here. You know who works up here, who lives up here. People wave at you as they come up. And most of the time, after a while, you learn what they drive. So it's you feel comfortable knowing your surroundings. It's really nice.
So if someone's speeding, you know it's them.
Most of the time. Not every car. They do change cars sometimes.
So to be a Mount Lemmon deputy, is there a process? Do you put in? Do you have the test? What goes into it?
Yes, there is a process. And you do, just like when I did the process, there are several people going in the process with you together. There is no testing for my process, but there are certain criteria that you do have to meet. And plus, there's actually additional training you need to get, not just your time, but riding ATVs, having a certification for that, having a certification for ropes, because sometimes you need to do rescues or help with rescues. So it entails a lot. And plus the initial scary moment for me was the initial memo that you have to actually make, because that's like your resume. So that's what's going to make you stand out.
Okay.
And before you got up here, give us a little bit of background on you, how long you've been a deputy with the department, how long you've been up here, all that good stuff. Give us a little bio, if you will.
I think I came at a really good time because it was middle of COVID. So when I started being directly patrolling Mount Lemmon, I've been a deputy for 8 years at that time. I've worked in every district except for Ajo, I think. So I've been around, gotten to know all parts of Tucson. I've lived in Tucson for more than 20 years, so I'm not new to Tucson, but I've always loved the outdoors. I'm a little bit of a tree hugger, so this is heaven compared to down in Tucson, where it's a daily grind. Up here, I'm half deputy and half tour guide, and I can always suggest which trails to go, which ones not to go, where we have the most rescues and what to avoid, because I don't just patrol, I actually utilize these trails too, and about 90% of these trails I have hiked myself, so I kind of know the terrain. But yeah, I've always been an outdoors person.
Well, you are in the perfect spot for it, for sure. Let's talk a little bit about this winter season, because we're coming up on the back end of it, right? So
yes.
As we mentioned on the drive over here, a little bit of snow, and we know Ski Valley had a really good season. How was it from your perspective? How does this year compare to previous years?
Well, this year was way easier than last year's. Last year's we had record snow, and so I could always tell what kind of snow season we're going to have, because I have to plow my driveway. And so I could tell, hey, there's a lot of more snow. And when the kids are griping more about shoveling snow, that's a big season. This year was normal. You know, there's a couple inches here, a couple inches there. We had some major storms, but every winter there's one or two major storms. I think personally, I noticed the difference in winter is when the storms come. If they come during the day, our actions are different if the storm is coming during the day or at night, because then there's people versus just at night, not much of activity is up here. So I think that's the only difference is when they come.
As a deputy, what is your first piece of action after you shovel out your driveway?
Well, even before I start shoveling, before it even starts coming down, I am glued to weather.com and checking the weather constantly for updates, because there is some constant where you know at least if the storm is coming, they predict it at this time. There's always changes though, those last minute changes where the times change or even the amounts change. I always get excited when it goes from 1 to 3 inches to 5 to 8 inches. But, you know, it's sometimes last minute it changes to zero or just a little trickle. So I'm definitely glued to the weather way before even it comes. And then when I'm shoveling, after I get shoveled out, I have to check the roads to make sure, especially like when it snows overnight, I get up way early before anyone comes up here to make sure that there is either snow, ice, or whatever the conditions are, sometimes even trees down, to see if that has happened overnight. That usually happens probably 5 a.m., depending on when the storm comes in or not. And if the storm is during the day, that's even worse because you have to juggle of the congestion up here, depending on which day it is, like Friday versus a Monday. You have to juggle how many people are up here versus how many inches are coming in the next few hours and what kind of vehicles are needed to withstand that storm coming, if it even comes or it changes. So that's kind of what's on my mind all the time throughout the whole storm.
At what point do you make that decision, hey, we're going to close the road or keep it open?
There is a little bit of a matrix that we kind of follow. Snow, there's a difference between snow and ice. So during the snow, if you have a 4x4 or an all-wheel drive vehicle or chains, you could definitely do some snow up to a certain point. But after 3 inches, that gets really dangerous. So after 3 inches, that 3 to 4 inches is where the cutoff would be to closing it to every vehicle, the public, because it could dump more or it could stop, but still, unless the plows help out in that situation, it's always a continuous evaluation. So if it snows in the morning, but the plows are not here right when it starts, then I have to wait to see how much more snow is coming. With ice, that's where I cross my fingers and wait for sun, because the sun will help with the de-icer that the county puts on. So it's basically a waiting game for the sun to come up, hit the right spots. And even when the sun comes out, we have so many crevices and curves. Those icy spots just linger for a very long time. And the chemicals themselves won't clear it. So you have to wait for the sun, for the right area for the sun to be. So like I said, it's always a continuous evaluation. It never stops. You never stop evaluating. So when it is a storm is coming, I'm actually not sitting anywhere. I'm actually up here going up and down, because we have 24 miles of the whole road, and every mile it could have a different weather. So I can patrol all of that to make sure that Summer Haven, if they're getting 5 inches, and Milepost 19 is getting zero, I'm not at zero, not knowing that we're getting 5 inches up here. Because that has happened where the weather up here is completely different than 3-4 miles down the road.
What do you say to some of those people down, you know, in Tucson or even businesses up here that are frustrated when things close?
Well, it is the priority for us is safety. Unfortunately, if we change our mindset of what our priority is, then we're catering to what is not our priority. And I feel bad for anyone up here who has to sit here and realize, well, there's no one coming up. But there's a phrase that the SAVs at the bottom use, which I think is hilarious. It's not you, it's your car. It's not your ability. It's just that we want to have it safe for everyone. I've been told by many people that in the old days, there was no guardrails. And every so often, you see a car off the cliff. And that now that we have guardrails, we still have people who might think they have the ability, but never test it out, or come up here and are surprised of how different they thought it would be to drive in it. Mm-hmm. So, and there's obviously you could drive in an inch of snow, but if you have a storm on top of that 1 inch of snow, that accumulation can change with an instant. And so it even becomes dangerous, even if you have a 4x4, with how strong the storms can be up here, it really changes. And I don't want anyone to feel that I don't want them to be up here. I do. But when 90% of Tucson and 50% of Sonora comes up, that combination, it's not even just Tucson, it's everybody else from around comes up, the small area up here can't sustain all that. I want people to come up and enjoy the snow as much as I do, but we do want everybody to be safe. And it's all about people's ability to drive in these hazardous conditions. And sometimes if it's not your ability, it's your car's ability. So we have to take that all into consideration.
So when are you out there with a ruler measuring the snow? Or are you getting out of your car? I've been dying to know that as soon as you said, yeah, I'm out there checking conditions. So what are you doing?
Yes, I am driving around and I have my tape measure and I take a photo of the tape measure. Usually the good spots are Sawmill parking lot over here because especially in the morning, no one's here. So I pull in and it's undisturbed snow. And then the other place is at Ski Valley because that is actually the highest point up here that is where people can drive up even when the Forest Service road is closed all the way to the top. And so I just take it there with my little pull out measuring tape and take a photo for proof. This is what it is. And actually on top of that, I do send out updates to the businesses up here too, because it's such a small little community. Not everyone lives up here and works up here. So if people come from Tucson, I provide them with updates of, hey, this is how much snow we have, or hey, watch out for ice. And then I send them even photos of the conditions of the road, so they know and they could plan out their day for whatever business they have up here.
Nice. Way to be community policing, we say that back out at 103.
Yes, well, thanks. But sometimes that group chat, man, is hard.
Have you had any sketchy situations when it's snow or black ice? I'm from Connecticut, so I've driven in snow and ice.
Yes.
And have you had any situations where you're like, oh, man, this is a little rough?
The first and only time I had that was probably when I was like 17 in Chicago, the burbs, driving around, and I'm literally in my Nissan Sentra and I'm going down this residential road going to a girlfriend's house and I'm going straight and I hit black ice and I literally went 180 and I was facing the other way around. Thankfully, I've never hit anything, and that was my introduction. And ever since then, extra careful. I have a nice, good tires on. I got chains in the back of the car just in case I need to put them on. I currently have a little Kia Soul that I put chains on, and it's wonderful up here.
Nice.
I have the chains from back when I lived in Oregon. Haven't needed them up here, but but I have them just in case. So now that we are sort of in that transition phase, now we're in spring and it's going to be getting hot pretty quickly. How does the focus of patrolling up here now shift for you?
Because more people are coming up here, we don't have those restrictions at the bottom. So I focus on the vehicles coming up and their speed, how they're driving, their behaviors, and up here patrolling Summer Haven to make sure everybody's parking the correct way. the thing up here is there's so little parking areas that any person sticking out into the road on the pavement is a hazard to everybody coming by. And, you know, you'd think it's just cars, but there's literally only one side of sidewalk here. And so after a certain point, after the cookie cabin, there's no sidewalks. And so then you're intermingling cars, pedestrians, and even cyclists up here. So that kind of switches to that as a safety. And, you know, me driving around is, everybody sees that I'm up here. Sometimes I've been told by some people that I've spoken to is that they come up here and it doesn't feel like a city. So they think it's a residential area and it's a different mindset. And you have to, and they forget about certain safety aspects, like don't use your cell phone while you're driving, even though you're lost and don't know where to turn. Probably your co-pilot should be doing that or know ahead of time. So those little things definitely help for the pedestrians and everybody else.
What about for like safety vehicles? If there was, you know, an emergency or something to be able to get up here, how does that work out?
The amount of people visit Ski Valley like quadruples and people have to park on the side of the road. That is the first thing that I've noticed up here was a hazard. So we made sure that we have patrol up there and the SAVs help with that during the winter to make sure everybody's parking on the correct side and not halfway in the middle of the road where no one else can pass by. Because you're right, ambulances can't get through. There's a lot of little streets up here where one person parking even next to their rental cabin can block the whole road for the ambulance and the fire truck to get through.
Do you guys have a cutoff number where we're like, hey, we may have to shut it down. There's too many people coming up here during the spring and summer. Does that happen?
Oh, a lot. And in the past, at the beginning of when I started working up here, they used to shut it down at Mapo Zero. And during the summer, that gets hot and you're sitting in your hot car. So one of the things that I've changed specifically so people are not sitting in their hot car, we've restricted access to Summer Haven specifically up here because it gets so congested. So we turn them around by the fire station as you're coming up at Maples 24. So you could actually enjoy the mountains still. Maybe come back later to visit when the congestion clears, but you're still on the mountain, you're enjoying it, and you're not stuck at the bottom at the sun. There's no set number, but I don't know if you noticed, it's all downhill from here. You could see all the way to the back, basically, right, of Summer Haven. So if I pull up on this hill, I could see how far the gridlock is. And the worst part is that there is literally a little tiny loop to get out because it's an in and out. So congestion always starts, and it's a very fine point where you start restricting vehicles, but not too much. There's no set number because people either turn around or go park. So it's definitely only by visual. And that's why when I have other like the SAVs patrolling with me, they are my second set of eyes. They could be patrolling here and I could be down the road patrolling elsewhere. And then we get together and visually estimate, hey, this is gridlock for a while. We do need to give it a little bit of breather to get all the people out and let the next wave come in.
And we just have to shout out our Sheriff's Auxiliary volunteers, right?
Yes, because very nice.
They are at the bottom. They're taking a lot of the brunt of this, right?
Yes, they are. And when we call them up, they're there. We request them, you know, no gripes. They're all very happy. They're actually training new SAVs to come up here because up here patrolling is a little different than in Tucson. So they actually do a lot more training for up here. And one thing I did not mention up here is the upcoming improvements. There is literally no parking here unless you're in this main parking lot or just somewhere on the side of the street. The snow takes away a lot of the shoulder parking, but the Forest Service is going to actually add a whole new parking lot as big as the sawmill just past where the private properties ends. So right before Marshall Gulch, and they are actually going to also add sidewalks, drainage, proper drainage, because if you're driving down, there's actually water you have to go through. Mm-hmm. And then the whole Marshall Gulch is going to be revamped. So the tiny little loop that you have to do for to turn around is going to be way easier, way better down there. So it's slowly improving, mm-hmm. But definitely a slow process.
Do they have a timetable for that?
Yes. The Marshall Gulch is starting this, that would be in 2 years. And then the parking lot is going to start next year. And that's going to be a little bit hard in the beginning, just because we have to close the whole road because they're going to do some drainage work. And there's going to be a detour. But at the end, though, it's going to be way better, way more safety in mind, because a sidewalk, I mean, it's a sidewalk, but it just helps so much with little kids, strollers walking down, and cars in the middle of it. Mm. So can't wait for those things.
Yeah, speaking of something new, you get the lodge, the cabins. Has that added more traffic, more things for you to patrol while you're up here? Or what has it been like since they've added those?
Well, we have not seen too much of an uptick of calls specifically, but there are more questions that we have. And now when people come up in the morning, they have somewhere to go at 7 a.m. because they open at 7. Before, nothing really opened up here until like 10-ish, because it's a tiny little town. So not specifically with numbers. There's no increase in numbers, but definitely of traffic going to those places. And, you know, there's always the double-edged sword where, yes, you have the traffic, the people coming and visiting, but then you have the more cars and they're nowhere to park. So, you know, we're just balancing that right now.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to PCSD.
What's the word?
Discover the power of 88 Crime, where your anonymous tips are rewarded with cash.
When you call in anonymously with a tip, you are given a code. With the code and a password, you can walk into a bank and redeem your reward anonymously. If your anonymous tip results in a felony arrest, you can claim up to $2,500 cash reward.
Let's stop the silence on crime and strive for a safer community. For more information, please visit 88crime.org or call 88crime.
And we're back on PCSD.
What's the word?
We are talking with Deputy Sloan. The podcast is on the road up on the freezing cold Mount Lemmon, but we're happy to be here. Let's get back into it. Deputy Sloan, now that the weather is changing, it's getting a little warmer, spring, I'm sure you see people trying to get up here faster than normal. What is it like trying to get people to slow down or not be distracted while they are driving?
Yes. If you see me, you should slow down. But that should not be your first clue. Your first clue should be all the curves that we have. And some of these curves are nice and tight. So at least two of them will definitely give anyone a scare. Milepost 8 and 22 are the tightest ones. So you definitely need to even slow down less than 35. Even slower when there is ice spots on there or anything like that. You need to give yourself time and slow down and see the forest, because if you go too fast, you're going to miss it. That is the only thing I could give people of advice about coming up here. There are lots of people having the same idea as you, but getting here faster does not help anyone around you. And so, especially in a one-way up, one-way down, single lane with no passing allowed, 90% of it, you're not just affecting yourself. You're actually affecting everyone else around you. And poor animals, they get hit all the time too. So slowing down for them is a thing that you might not think of, but definitely watch out for that.
The tailgating sometimes that I witness coming up here.
The speed limit is 35. You are allowed to go slower, but there are signs at the bottom, and there's actually an Arizona law that you cannot go slower than the speed of the speed limit, but have more than five cars behind you. So when I do see that congestion created by that slow vehicle, I do pull them over and I do educate them. And 90% it's educational. Hey, I'm glad you're being safe, but you are creating congestion behind you, which then in turn, they're not being safe because how close everybody is. And for the people that are tailgating, if I see you, I'll be more than happy to stop you and say hi.
It's a nice balance, right? Not too slow. You don't want to keep them behind you.
There are lots of pullouts. You could pull out even if you're not going slow, but you have a tailgater behind you. You could always pull over to the right, use a pullout, and then be safe. Because road rage is on the rise.
People are going to be heading up here to escape the heat. What advice do you give them? Yes, follow the traffic laws, but what about just coming and making a day trip? What do you see that people are kind of forgetting or they're just not prepared?
Well, one is reception. We're in town and we figure we have reception everywhere, but actually Mount Lemmon has a lot of dead spots. So making sure if you can't bring something up on your phone that needs reception, take a photo of it before you leave. Or come up to Summer Haven first where there is reception and do your figuring out where you want to go there and then go to an area where there might not be reception because that's kind of needed. But saying all that, you could always text 911 these days. So having reception is not necessarily making it a dead zone. You could actually get through to 911 via text because that will go faster than an actual phone call.
I did not know that.
Yes.
What about for hikers?
Water. Water, water, water. Other than, the sprained ankle, we understand that, things happen. But the misconception that it is cooler up here, you don't need a lot of water, is definitely false, especially when you go to the burn areas where you're in open air, there's no shade or trees, and you have the sun beating down on you. That 70 degrees turns into 80 or 90 really fast, especially when you're exerting yourself, because some of these hikes, they're not just nice and level, they definitely go up or down, and so you exert a lot more energy doing that. So definitely keep that in mind.
For our cyclists, any advice for those cyclists?
Yes.
I think I saw 8 to 9 just coming up today.
Yes. So for the cyclists themselves, do not hold on to a vehicle while coming up here.
Wait, that happens?
Yes. It is illegal, but I have seen it, and I had to educate the person. One, your pride. You should be able to say that you came up on here with your own human pedaling. But sidetrack. Yes, bring definitely lots of water. There, you can get to the top and get water, but that 24 miles straight up is not going. That's not enough. There is several pullouts like Mount Bigelow where there is a spigot. It might not be on all year, but there is a spigot next to the bathroom that you could get emergency water. And the Palisades Visitor Center definitely can save you in a pinch. Or just wave at me. I have water, too.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool of you. But, yeah, I can't. I'm still going back to the cyclist holding onto cars.
Yes.
So dangerous.
If you're going to try this, I would think, this is not something you wake up and say, hey, I'm going to get a bike and do 24 miles up in the heat.
I'm just trying to go on the loop, just flat road.
Yeah. Yes. Oh man, that is unbelievable.
And with the cycling, they have the right to use the road as much as the vehicles. And there's always that debate. Yes, the road is for the vehicles, but everybody has the right to use it, even pedestrians. So obviously if you're a vehicle, don't go around a cyclist and pass a double yellow line on any corner. You have to have at least, 500 feet of vision that no one's coming around that corner. If you wait behind the cyclist until you have that clear vision in front, that's way safer for you and anyone coming down. Because a head-on collision on a two-lane road, especially up here, super dangerous.
Yeah, and what happens when there's a crash? Pretty much you guys shut everything down, right?
Exactly. So when there is a crash, we do have to, most of the time, close both sides. So usually traffic is holding because we have the fire department needs to come in with at least two vehicles of their own, not to mention our vehicles. So most of the time there is no passage to go around, and we have to shut down the road, and that is not happy for neither me, who has to control the traffic in the heat, or the person sitting in the hot car. So it can block the whole thing, and then if a person coming around the corner doesn't see the accident, it just compounds. So it can be worse at the end than what it started.
Hi, I'm Sheriff Chris Nanos. Make sure you hydrate before, during, and after your hike. If you feel nauseous or dizzy, find some shade and drink plenty of water. Protect yourself always, and don't become a victim of the heat.
This summer, we're coming up on 4 years since the Bighorn Fire.
Yes.
What are things looking like now in the regrowth, and what sort of preparation do you guys do for or coordinate with for that fire season?
Well, FireWise is a organization that comes up here every year, and they just came up actually this last month to do a presentation and actually talk to homeowners. And the fire department was there, and the fire department is very proactive and go out to houses and tell and advise them of what may be a high risk with trees around or brush. We are on a one-to-one communication with the fire department up here. So we have their radios. So it's not like in Tucson where our call center calls another. We are literally a radio away, no matter if we have reception or not. And so that close communication really helps us with, hey, a report of a smoke over here. I could check it out if I'm closer, or they can. And they have additional volunteers too, where we could spread out and try to find it if it's hard to find. So we're really close on communication, and that definitely helps out with any preventative, or if we do catch something, to catch it in time and not too late.
Yeah, and important to remind folks that the majority of any fires are caused by people.
Yes, they're human made. Last summer, we had a very fortunate event where we didn't have any fire restrictions, but that was the first summer in a couple where we did. So if there is a fire restriction, definitely, if you have any questions, you could always call the sheriff's department. They'll patch it to me, and I'll answer any calls. Yes, we do have a restriction. No, we don't. And there's different levels of it. So we always try to inform anyone who asks.
You were talking about houses. I want to go back to being a deputy up on here on Mount Lemmon. There's a little perk to being a deputy up here, right? You get to stay up here too, is that right?
Yes, not that I could afford it on my salary, but yes, I do get to stay up here. I get the privilege of shoveling my own driveway, plowing it with a little ATV that we have, and utilizing my child labor of my teenagers to help.
So are you up here full time?
I'm sorry, was that too funny for you?
No, he's trying to figure out how he can put his four kids to work.
Exactly what. I need to put my kids to work. Maybe I'll just move up here. Maybe I can put them up to work here, you know, and drive down here.
You can start a little side hustle, you know. Can you imagine how many driveways I can clear?
Well, that's what I did as a kid. So quick story about me. So living in Connecticut, I had a shovel. And that's how I did all the driveways. And back in the East Coast, the driveways are much longer than they are here in Tucson. And so it's, you know, my driveway is actually up the hill. So I did a shovel. Then finally my dad said, hey, we're getting a snowblower. And that changed the game. I mean, I was knocking out driveways like that.
For every snow? Those things don't work for every snow.
Not for every. But, you know, after a while in Connecticut, you know, the snow just piles on, piles on. So, It got me through some winter, so it's good. But that's why I live in Tucson. I do not like the snow. I like to be warm and hot, period.
You're just like my husband, who's a Tucson native, and oh my goodness, complains every time March 1st comes around or there's still snow.
Yeah.
I get so excited being from Arizona and New Mexico. Anytime I see like the white stuff, I'm like, yes, it's here. I don't want it to go away, so.
So what's the other perk were you thinking of that I have?
I don't know. Are there any more?
Yes.
Oh.
I've gained a community. You can literally if you have any problems, you could literally pick up the phone and you could call a friend, a resident up here, anyone, and they're willing to help pull you out, give you something. I've made many friends up here, not just on the professional, but on a personal level, where you feel like you're part of something.
That's
and
awesome.
So it's way smaller than Tucson would ever be to me. Even though coming from Chicago, Tucson is tiny, but up here, that's like almost like family, like going down to that kind of personal connections.
I know. I feel like everybody knows you. You're almost like the like the mayor of Mount Lemon.
No, don't mayor, be saying that.
Mayor
no,
Sloan.
I don't want that to go anywhere. No.
No.
I don't know, because just as we were setting up for the podcast, they were coming and talking about the 4th of July. She had to sign some things.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that kind of comes with the job. Actually, 4th of July is like one of the most fun parts up here, because the whole thing shuts down. We close it at both ends. And there's literally donkeys and horses and convertibles and people coming out from their houses with their crafts, and it's the town parade.
I've been out here for the 4th of July. It rained one year when I came out here, and it was beautiful. Oh my goodness, the smell of rain and the desert. I love it so much.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the good times. It's a little hard for us because we actually have to have more people up here to patrol during that time. And it's past few years, we had definitely in the news several places nationwide where there was things going on, like hazards, people driving into parades or, you know, causing harm. So we have to watch out for that. I know it's a little town, but it could still happen. So it just takes a little bit more effort. That's why I was signing where the signs are going to be posted, where the people are going to be. It has to be approved because they're already working on it. And right now is actually too late, a little late in the season to be on it. But she said that they're still working on it.
So should be a good time. Quick mention about some of the concerns up here for monsoon. How does that affect the role you do? You have to worry about the snow. We have to worry about the heat. And now the rain. We like it, but it can cause some issues.
Yes. I do like the rain and all the waterfalls it creates. Oh my goodness. There's at least, on a good monsoon like we had 2 years ago, we had at least 6-7 really good waterfalls as you're driving. But it is definitely slippery. And people might not see where they're going, might not know where they're going. It's just an additional hazard. I don't know if I would say it's as bad as winter, but definitely being stranded up here in a downpour is probably as scary.
Is it because of the slick roads or?
Yes, actually the worst time of being on the road when it rains is at the beginning, because all those oils are just starting to melt and they're fresh right on the road. So when it's a downpour, when it's been a downpour a while, then it washes away. But that first beginning part, it's the slippery layer is what's dangerous.
What about rock slides?
That is another downside. The rock slides on tight, curvy roads are awful because you may not have time to avoid them. And I mean, they could be down as small as a pebble or as big as a boulder. I'm actually waiting for the big boulder to fall because I want to take a photo of it. It's like a bucket list for me. But the tiny ones can puncture or get you to skid off the road and puncture your tires, get a flat, or even veer off from your lane and possibly go into the opposite traffic, which is always a disaster.
Is there anything else that we forgot to ask you or that you want to tell folks about living and working up here?
I love it. I'm so glad I got the spot. I was jumping 9 feet high when I got it. And it's going to take horses for me to get pulled off the mountain.
Just close the road.
That's a really good. That was really good. Was this something you had been aiming for to work and become the Mount Lemon deputy or one of the Mount Lemon deputies?
Not necessarily specifically on Mount Lemon. I was looking to work in an area where I would not be complacent and get jaded. Because if you work in the city or in the county, like, you know, the down in Metro, as I call it. It can be very much of call to call, some traffic, and that gets mundane. And I didn't want to get like jaded from that and get it be boring. And then you don't like your job. And then, you know, it kind of goes down from there. So I figured if it's a good mixture of things, it will keep me not just grounded, not just, you know, keep my integrity, and not just having fun, but just be excited to come to work. I mean, the variety of calls range from, you know, a person walking down the road and need to do a check welfare to I need to go on a hike to help another hiker out because they're too tired. Or I get to tow somebody out from mud because, you know, even in not just winter snow, you get stuck in mud too, or places where you shouldn't be. And I get to help those people out. And that's more than the Metro units can do down in Tucson. So.
Makes it a lot easier when you love what you do. And I'm sure people are very grateful to have you up here as well.
Yes, thank you.
Speaking of love, I love to talk about food. It's one of my favorite subjects, and that's how we usually close everything. So here we go. The tough question. You don't have to tell me your favorite.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
We don't want to make anybody mad at Mayor Sloan. I'm sorry, Deputy Sloan. What are the places here that are great to eat up here?
Well, let's start with the top. There's the Iron Door. Okay. Even though skiing may not be all round, they definitely have a restaurant with some cool German kind of fare. I'm European, so that always kind of connects to me. Mm-hmm. The sawmill here in, as you first come in, you see the sawmill with a big, huge parking lot. So that's some nice American food, which my kids actually like. And then if you go down a little bit, there is a coffee shop, which thank goodness we just got one. Was it last year? The coffee shop came in, and that was the nice first thing in the morning that you could get, because before that was nothing. And then a little bit further down, you have the lodge where Beyond Bread, they could actually serve you breakfast at 7 a.m. So, you know, that was not a thing that I would have imagined a year ago, but here we are. Something opened before 10 o'clock. And then the Cookie Cabin is also popular with my kids. The size of that cookie is horrible, and it should be outlawed. But definitely the kids would love that. And then the last but not least, the general store, a little bit of everything in there, and always have coffee for me. So I'm glad to go in there.
And fudge.
Don't forget the fudge.
Well, of course the fudge. And I think, I hope I don't get diabetes from it, because, man, that's good.
We heard that they were making a fresh batch this morning. So, Kevin, you know where we're going after this.
Yeah, I know where we're going. Can I go back to that cookie cabin? So when I first came up here, I saw the cookie. So I was like, oh, man, there's just one. You know, they have one with just a chocolate chip cookie. And then there's the one with, like, the chocolate chips,
all
something
of them.
Else.
Yes, it's all together. It's a cosmopolitan cookie.
Oh, is that what it's called?
I don't think so. I think I just made that up.
It's like a sampler.
Yes. Oh, man, that is, oof.
Yes.
That's all I need. I don't even need to eat anything else, just that.
Well, it's definitely nice after a cold winter walk to go over there and eat a freshly baked cookie.
That's great.
I totally can relate.
Do you have any place? I mean, that's the only place I've been. I need to, I guess, come up here and venture off.
Yeah, I mean, so I skied Mount Lemmon once and then got some cider up there, and that was delicious. I love the cookies. I love the fudge. Question for you. All right, so we always talk about all the crowds, and of course people are going to be coming up to escape the heat. What is a good time that you don't see a lot of people? Is it like a Tuesday at noon? Like, when is a good time? And
not on spring break.
Not on spring break.
Because there's no time. It's every day. During the week. Definitely during the week. And that would be the most safest time to drive, because there's not a congestion of vehicles coming up. Probably Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday-ish would be the non-crazy time. But, you know, it's a national forest, so they are open a lot. 24/7 type of situation. So it's people are going to be up here all the time. Definitely get early if you want to get a good spot. Reserve your campsite. There are some first come, first serves, but definitely see if you could reserve one just to get the headache out of the way.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you, Deputy Sloan, for joining us on the podcast. Learned a lot about being up here and what you do as a patrol deputy up here. Pretty great stuff.
Very, very informative. Thank you so much for all of the work that you do and for keeping the community safe up here and also the people that come to visit.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So thank you for listening to PCSD. What's the word?